Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 15, a very, very, very famous story in the Bible. A story that I love to read, a story that always feeds my soul when I read it. Exodus 14, verses 13 through 15. Now let me give you the introduction to it a little bit. They have been delivered from Egypt's enslavement. They've been there 400 years, and I'll refer to that throughout the message. But they have been delivered, and they've come to a place now where a decision has to be made whether they're going to go back or go forward. Everybody say, go forward. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Everybody say, no more forever.
No more forever.
The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Amen. That scripture is really saying, the Lord will fight for you, and just keep it shut. Just be quiet. The Lord is going to fight for you. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Amazing response from God when a man who's under tremendous pressure, or a person under tremendous pressure, his whole life he's been taught to seek God, goes to God. And God doesn't sit there and say, I'm hearing you, friend. You know, he calls me friend, song we sing. I'm hearing you. I know I'm the center of your life. I know that. But he says back to him, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Everybody say, go forward.
Go forward.
But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. You know what I love about this scripture? It doesn't say, why do you cry to me? But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. It says, tell the children of Israel to go forward. In other words, what I want them to do is I want them to commit to faith. I want them to hear that they have to have faith if they're going to go forward. Are you there with me?
Yes.
The Lord leads them to the sea's edge. That would sound great if it was a planned day to the beach with the church. It would be awesome if there were not all these soldiers and horsemen along with chariots chasing after Israel. Pharaoh and his vast army, he was leading them. All of his peoples and all the chief officers of his immediate household were there. 600 chosen chariots comprising the king's guard, the pride of Egypt. All the chariots of Egypt as the main body of the army, including chariot drivers, combatants in each chariot. Along with that, there were 50,000 horsemen and 200,000 footmen coming after 2.5 million people that 5 days earlier had been set free after 400 years of slavery. The Israelites had now been moving forward for about a week, and their journey to the sea's edge had taken them about 2 to 3 days to get there. they could go no further. In other words, I'm 400 years of slavery. Freedom had come. I got 5 days of feeling really good, and I'm moving forward, and now I can't go any further. I hope you're hearing this spiritually today. I hope you're just not hanging in there thinking this is about this or that, about Exodus and Moses and everything. I want you to listen to this spiritually. After being set free, you go so far, then all of a sudden you can't go any further. God says, go forward. Everybody say, go forward.
Go forward.
The Israelites began to be deeply afraid at this point, because they remembered what it was like in Egypt. They remembered the pain, the anguish, the taskmaster's whip, the thirst, the starvation, and the death of their relatives throughout the day. They remember how hard the work was in that arid temperature building someone else's kingdom. What did I just say spiritually? We should remember what it was like to be unsaved in the heat of sin as we built the enemy's kingdom here on this earth. Building up his kingdom as we see today being built everywhere. Television networks, people, the way they appear and the way they act, selfishness and rudeness, lack of compassion, what people think is all right today. Funny, it wasn't all right 20 years ago in the church, but today it's all right. It certainly wasn't soon after 20 that a lot of other things were not accepted, but it's all right now. They were deeply afraid. Sometimes I think people in the house of God get deeply afraid when they see the enemy coming after them. The Bible says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I'm always there with you," says the Lord. Fear not. Very strong commandment in the Bible, throughout the whole Bible. Fear not. Secondly, they cried out to the Lord themselves. They were out there now crying out, "Oh God, I'm seeing a massive amount of dust being raised across that desert. It doesn't look like they're too far away. But at the end of the line, by the time the 2.5 million person on the end of the line was the closest sight to what was coming, got word to 2.5 million people down at the first line, the ones, the elders there, and Moses at the first, who were at the sea's edge, it was now known throughout the whole people that it was Pharaoh, and he was upset. I could imagine the conversations. We don't have time to go over those conversations, but you could imagine what they would be. Maybe it was like, "I think we're going back." You think they're going to be mad that I took all those persons' gold dishes? I mean, you know, all these things, because they took all the spoils they wanted from Egypt. They were free. You see, God, when he frees you up, he allows you to be abundantly blessed. Allows you to have good things. You know, I get around some folks that they're in this poverty attitude all the time, you know. You don't need to live like that. You need to know that God wants to bless you with abundant things. He wants to bless your life.
Yes. Amen.
He wants to give you good things. Don't settle for what the world wants to give you, because that's going to wear out. Ask God for what is going to be not temporal but eternal. Be blessed by the goodness of His name. And they cried out to the Lord. Now that's as they were afraid. They cried out to the Lord. Then they did the third thing, which happens all the time in churches. They complained against Moses. Because things weren't going right, they started to complain to the guy who came there when they weren't even ready to go yet, and he went through it all to get them to go. They started to complain. It was, it's all your fault, man. You got us into this. You led us to the place where we can't go any further. And I want you to know that on either side, there was not just small hills, but there was cliffs and mountains going high. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever seen 10 people trying to crawl up the side of a cliff or a mountain without any climbing gear, it doesn't look good. It doesn't. Somebody's fallen back and somebody's fallen off. Well, I want you to know, if you ever saw 2.5 million people trying to get up that, somebody's going to die. And God didn't deliver them to kill them.
That's right.
Amen. He delivered them to give them life.
Yes. Yes.
Can I take it one more step? He delivered you and I to give us life.
Yes.
Accept life. Don't try to climb out. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on to what God has for you. They complained. They complained and yelled at him. I mean, it was like, what did you do this for? Why did you lead us here? Now, if you read Exodus 14, you will see that the Bible says that God led them there. The reason God led them there, because they were not, after 400 years of enslavement, they have not been in a fight for 400 years. That's a lot of generations that came forth. They were not trained to fight. The reason Moses was able to kill the guard that was about to kill one of the Israelites is because he was a master of the martial arts and he was a master with a sword. The guard wasn't. He was just trained to keep them in line. They didn't have the ability to fight, so he led them away from where there would be a battle. But he had a purpose, because he was going to show them. He told Moses, if you read the opening part of Exodus 14 and 1, he told Moses, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And so Moses begins to predict 5 promises to the Israelites. He gives them back to their complaints. Now there's a lot of preachers today, a lot of pastors today, that don't have good positive attitudes. They have this kind of a grinding attitude. And if you challenge them, they just want to challenge back. Don't you know who I am? Well, let me remind you of who I am. I am the pastor. Did I say that right to you? No, Moses didn't do that. He knew exactly what to do. He had a positive grip on life. He knew that God had just delivered them 2.5 million people from bondage after 400 years, delivered them. And he knew that God said, go forward. Now, after frogs and lice and hail, bloody water, I think Moses was getting the idea that if he said go forward, God was going to prepare the way. I think people in the house of God today need to understand. You need to just know, even reading the Bible, if you've never witnessed a miracle, but just reading the Bible, you need to know that God knows how to get you through something.
Amen.
He knows how to get you going. Everybody say, go forward. He knows how to get you going.
Yes.
He said to them, you will see God's salvation. You'll see it today. Not next week, not next week, not a month from now, not after about 1 million of the 2.5 get slayed and crippled up and taken back. You're going to see it today before Pharaoh gets here. I'm going to deliver you. And I'm going to tell you, before the devil gets to you, God will deliver you.
Yes.
He'll set you free.
Yes.
He'll lead you. You just got to have that go forward positive attitude. And not that sit down and I'm going to give up attitude. I'm quitting attitude. I can't take this any longer attitude. I'm free, but oh me. No, stand up and declare, I am the child of God. I have got the anointing of God. I will move forward in what God has called me to do. And the enemy does not have a power to tear me down, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
The Egyptians that you see now, you will see no more alive. What's bothering you right now, God can remove it. You'll never see it again. And he's not talking about your boyfriend or girlfriend or your wife or your husband or anything like that. He's talking about the enemy coming after you.
Yeah.
You'll see them no more. The Lord will fight for you. You know, some battles are just too big. And church folk need to understand, quit trying to fight a battle that you'll never win. It's too big.
That's right.
Kathy and I say this to each other all the time. It's too big for us to win. Only God can handle it. It's too big. Only God can deal with it. But we want to carry the burden. We feel kind of good hanging out carrying things, you know. We just feel good about carrying things. Oh man, this feels good. We feel this, and we're going to pick up something else, and we're going to do this, and we're going to pick up that, and you know, I'm going to pick up this, and man, I'm loving this. I'm just going to pick up this stuff. You know, it makes it pretty hard to do stuff when you're carrying all this stuff.
It
really does, you know. It just doesn't make sense to do all that. You know, and just, it's just a matter of putting it down and saying, you know, lay your burden down. Give it to the Lord. He's going to be able to bless you. Have the right mindset to know that, you know, you don't have to carry the world. Jesus has overcome the world, praise God. And he has left you with a peace, and that peace is the peace of God. Amen.
Yes.
He's given you a peace that you can make it with. I'll fight for you.
Yes.
The Lord's going to fight for you.
Yep.
And then he says the fifth thing, you will not have to fight.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to fight. You don't have to go through this. It's going to be okay. You don't have to, you know, be in a battle all the time. You don't have to worry about it all the time. You know, the enemy's going to put things towards you. The enemy's going to show you all sorts of things. The enemy's going to try to get you. He's going to lead you into stuff, and he's going to draw you. But you have to have that positive outlook on life that, you know what? I'm the property of the Lord, my God.
Amen.
The creator of the heavens and the earth. Jesus is my Savior. And no matter what condition my condition is in, no matter where I am in life, if I'm pushing a shopping cart or driving a Mercedes, if I live in a 25-bedroom home that has full bathrooms in it, if I've got a yard that's so big that it takes a half hour to get to my front door, or if I got a tent living out in the cold up by a railroad train, and I'm there in a tent and it's wet and it seems that it's raining on me. No matter where you are in life, God is able, and he'll fight for you. He'll keep you. He'll deliver you. He'll set you free. He's just waiting for you to say, God, I need you. Tell me what to do, and I'm going to tell you what God always says. Go forward. Go forward. Cease this complaining to me and do something. Go forward. God knows, you know, you don't need to bring an electric guitar that has a signature of B.B. King on it. You don't need to play the blues and get out a harmonica and play the blues harp every time you pray to God. How about taking out a guitar that has a name like Chris Tomlin or somebody like that, or Evershown Rock on it, and it start to play that guitar with joy and happiness and praise and calling God your friend and saying you're going to shout his name from the rooftops. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Am I making any sense, or should I just stop here? The Red Sea at this location was 12 miles wide and from 75 feet to 100 feet deep. Imagine for a moment and consider this. The Red Sea at this point location, now get this in your mind. If you can create a word picture, I want you to get this in your mind. The Red Sea at this point location was 7 times longer than the Golden Gate Bridge. What's kind of neat, though, is God's got it together, doesn't he? How are you going to get 2.5 million people through a small door? He can just open up 12 miles. He can just do it. He can speak to the wind, which he did, and it just started to tear into the sea. And then it just got that up there, and that water was just frozen there. It was there. And the water was the dry ground. You say, I don't believe this, preacher. I'll tell you right now, I do. I want you to know that when they went forward, they didn't put on swimming trunks. They didn't get in any boats. They didn't get any canoes. They didn't get any large vessels. They just began to move forward. The angel of the Lord showed up. He was always there. That's the whole thing. You got to understand that God gave them the angel of the Lord to lead them out of Egypt. He went from the front, 2.5 million people later, to the end, and he shot darkness to the Egyptians and bright light to the delivered, to the Israelites. What I'm trying to say to you today, when you're going through something, I want you to know that God has got you covered. He's got you there right now. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord encamps all about those who fear him and deliver them in Psalm 34:7. Praise God. God's got an angel around you to deliver you wherever you're at and whatever you're going through. Just be positive. Be thankful that God's there for you. And just know that no matter how bad it looks, it doesn't look bad to God. No matter what it may look like is going to happen, God will fix it so you'll be blessed. He'll deliver you. He'll set you free. He'll be all right with you. I want you to notice again the words, go forward. These words are remarkable and very substantial to each one of us listening to this word spoken into your life today. Go forward. We are living today in difficult times. Confusion on which way to go is often brought into conversation, and questions begin to be asked. What do I do? Which way do I go? How do I get out of this situation? But this story sheds light toward the faith that is necessary to move forward, even against all odds. When things don't look like they're going to work, move forward. When it doesn't look like it can ever happen to me, move forward. When it seems that all the world is coming against you, move forward. When it seems like everything in your home and everything in your job and everything's going on, move forward. Don't lose your sanctification. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your ability to praise God and to believe God no matter what's going on. God is greater than any situation that you're going through, the church is going through, or any situation a group of people may be going through and they need help. God is greater than all that. He can make it happen. How can God heal my relationship and my marriage or my boyfriend and or my girlfriend? How can God do this? Guess what? He can do it if you got faith, if you believe. Stop trying to, don't pray prayers change that person. Pray prayers of God, God change me. Mm-hmm. I can get an amen there, did I?
Amen.
Change me. Praise God, Ben. You better start praying, change me, brother. But pray, change me. That's what I'm saying. Change me. Hallelujah. You know, we just need to understand it. Well, if you're at work and there's somebody at work that's just kind of giving you trouble, change me. Change me, God. Quit trying to change the world because the world isn't all about you. God wants you to be blessed. He wants your character to be right. He wants you to move forward in all the things that are there. And we have to notice that 2.5 million people are convinced that they have been delivered from Pharaoh's treachery and enslavement. They are elated and still pondering just how this all comes to pass. Not to mention that they have been in bondage for 400 years. As I stated in the beginning of this message, they have been praying for deliverance for that period of time, and now they are free, 5 days free. You see, God will give every one of you a now moment if you let Him. The Bible says right now in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, for He says, God says, in the acceptable time, I have heard you. Maybe you've been praying for a while. God has an acceptable time that He's going to hear you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now. Everybody say, I need a now time. Now is the acceptable time. I have heard you. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He blesses you. He'll take care of you. He'll move in your behalf. No matter what's going on in your life. Friend, let me tell you something. It's wonderful to see the Lord bring deliverance. It's wonderful. You know, Pharaoh and all them couldn't get through that angel of the Lord. They were dead stop. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything till they were safe on the other side. It wasn't that they parked there and were hanging out there, got to see all that going on, thinking, well, we reside here for a while, we'll have a little barbecue by the beach, and, you know, I don't know how we're going to do it. We don't have enough barbecue, and did anybody bring any briquettes or whatever, you know, do all that stuff. They just started, that wind started to blow, that sea started to separate, that dry ground started to appear, and they began to go. Now, it took a while to move 2.5 million people across a spread of 12 miles wide. And then you have to understand, that's a long walk. 7 of the Golden Gate bridges. That's a long walk for 2.5 million people to walk across. The Golden Gate Bridge is 1.7 miles long. That's pretty long walk. And so to get number one across there to number 2.5 million, that's a long walk. Because if you add up number one getting to the cross, you see, you have another number one starting way back there because they're at the starting line. So then you got the last person, 2.5 million. He's the last person. He's starting. So you got to add all that time together. You just can't think, well, Moses made it over there in about an hour and a half. No. Then you got all the rest to calculate out. That's a long time. They were stuck behind in darkness, and God gave them light. Let me tell you, God wants to do that for your life every day. Am I helping anybody today? God wants to do that for your life every day. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you the time to get where you need to get. He was going to give you the time to be changed how you need to be changed. He's going to give you the time for your relationship to get better. He's going to give you the time to build up those hopes and dreams and see them come to pass. He's going to give you the time that comes together, because God cares about you. God loves you, and He just wants you to know that you can just go ahead and say, you know what? No matter what's happening, I'm going forward. I'm going to move forward into what God has called me to do. I'm not going to fight in my home. I'm not going to fight in my relationship. I'm not going to fight in my position at work. I'm not going to pull power in my home. I'm not going to pull power in my relationships. I'm not going to pull power in my personal job area. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be a child of the living God, and I'm going to live out the life that Jesus said I have, a life of humility, a life of love, a life of grace, a life of submission. I am going to be that Christian that says, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe. Your circumstances may not be as large numerically as a story, but are just as penetrating to your spirit and also as emotionally crippling to you moving into what God has for you. I understand fully what it is to go through situations to where you get emotionally crippled or so penetrated by the power of the enemy that you just want to sit down. You just want to kind of find a place and sit down. Anybody says, what are you doing? You just say, don't worry about it. I'm just sitting. You've cried so many tears that there's no more tears to cry. You've felt so much pain that the pain has become numb. You've been hurt so much as a child and throughout life that it just doesn't matter anymore. I'm just there. I'm just sitting. Nothing's ever going to get good. Let me tell you something. This is the time when what God has for you, this is a time that He's going to bless you. He's going to take you. He's going to bring restoration, renewal, reformation, reorganization, and restructuring into your life. And that can begin now if you'll just believe.
Amen.
He can bring restoration, renewal, restructure you. Can I say this? Stop wrestling against God. Stop thinking that you're Jacob crossing the creek. You're not. Don't mean to pop your bubble. You're not. You're your name, your struggle. You're there, and God is saying, I'm going to bring renewal. I'm going to bring reformation. I'm going to bring reorganization. I'm going to bring restructuring. I can do that if you'll just believe.
Amen.
I can remove the pain that goes all the way back to your early childhood. I can remove the pain of those that hurt you. I can remove the pain of those that brought stuff into your life as a child that should have never happened. I can remove that pain.
Yes.
I can remove the pain of when you were a young teenager and things happened that you should not have seen, should not have had happen to your body. I'm going to remove that pain. I'm going to remove the pain of loss of a loved one, loss of friendship. Found out those that you thought were your friends have been lying and cheating and abusing you. No, I can remove that pain. I can remove the pain of crippling words that have hurt you so deeply that you just felt like never attending a church or never going around Christians or never even getting with your family. I can remove that pain.
Yes.
If you'll just believe. I'm just waiting on how I should say this. Start listening to God. And stop keeping the blessing coming to you? Mm-hmm. You're not in control when it gets this bad.
Right.
Let God be God. That's what He does best. Moses is saying to them right now, I'm saying to anybody who's listening today, either digitally or placement here right now, a live message, let me say to you there that God is saying through me, as He said through Moses, and I am certainly not Moses, or am I close to Moses? I am not even in that same library. I'm in the bookstore down the street somewhere, the bottom shelf over in a corner, in a comic book pages that have been pressed in and they're wrinkled, that I will say what I got from the Holy Ghost. Moses is declaring that deliverance is here now.
Amen.
Now. You may feel that you are bound up and shackled so tightly emotionally that there is no hope, only time. Friend, God wants you to know that He not only created time, but also He has given you hope, and that hope cannot be denied. Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen. Everybody only wants to read verse 11 because it just kind of builds you up a little bit. But He says, if you get this right, you come to me and pray, I'll listen. But if you're not going to get it right, I'm not listening. God wants you to have that positive source, that positive part. If you are in the waters and you feel like you're drowning, Hebrews 6 and 19 says this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil. You see, deliverance, freedom, comfort, and joy, all to your faithful call. Go forward into your miracle. Go forward into your deliverance. Go forward into what you believe God has called you to do. Don't stop now at the river's edge and say, uh-oh, I can't go any further. I can't see how I can get through this mirage. I can't wait. How do I get through all this stuff in front of me? How do I go forward? Simply believe. Have an attitude of belief. I'm going to move forward. That's what the word says. Don't listen to negative complaints or the criticisms that people state. Stop looking for people to agree with your complaints and fears. Find people who will listen to your faith and hope.
Amen.
Start speaking faith and hope. Start believing. Start believing God. Paul was truly speaking about reaching those goals you may have when he stated that we must all press towards. That word press in the Greek means it's going to be pressing. You have to press. You don't push a little door, or there's not a line that you walk by, or some sort of a light shining towards you that when you break that light, it sends a signal to the door and it swings open and you walk through. No, that's not life, friend. I don't know what life you're living, but there's a press. There's a press. And what you need to do is you need to have faith and hope when you're pressing towards that. Faith and hope that says, I'm going to make it.
Yep.
I could do this.
Yep.
Work together. Be in unity, in other words. Be strong in your relationships. Be strong in your trust in the Lord. Be strong in your prayer life. Be strong in your Bible reading. You see, I live this Bible. I'm not bragging, but I live this Bible. Is it hard to do that? Yes, it is. Do I go through things that most people don't go through? Yes, I do. But I'm pressing. I have faith. I have hope. I pray every day without a doubt. I pray, seeking his face. I pray for preachers that they're preaching today all over the United States and all over in California, Nevada. I pray, God, give them an anointing today. Let the Holy Ghost flow through them today. Let them preach with like men that are on fire and women that are on fire today. Bless their children. Bless their families. Let no evil befall their children, and let no plague come near their dwelling. I'm already praying for this baby that's in Eva's womb. I'm praying, God, let no evil befall that baby and let no plague come near its dwelling. I know where its dwelling is right now, praise God. It's in her womb. I'm praying protection upon that child. Amen.
Amen.
Babies have just been born of people that I know. And while they were in the womb, I said, God, give that baby a high calling. I pray for Pete still. I didn't ever get his last name, but God knows who he is in Texas, and I pray for him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm not being braggadocious. I'm telling you, you got to believe, folks. It ain't just going to church on Sunday and having a whatever you do during the week. You got to have faith, a running faith, a positive faith, a faith that says, I can make it, I can get through it, because God is with me.
Yes.
Amen.
Which way are you going? Let's just say you're driving forward in a car. I wanted to give you this kind of a word picture. You're driving forward in a car and you are heading towards your goal, or you desire deliverance and peace in your life, but you're in your car driving, spiritually speaking. Stop the car and put all your insecurities in the trunk. Close the trunk and drive on. Then after a while, stop the car again, take out all your insecurities, and leave them on the side of the road and close the trunk. Get back into the car and drive on. Your doubts, your fears, your problems, your anger, and your insecurities just could be your Pharaoh.
That's right. Hello.
Drop them off. God never intended for you to have them.
Yeah.
Stop looking back and look forward. I could look back in my life, and I don't even like to talk about it. I got snapshots in my mind that should not be there. I did not create them. It is as though someone took the picture and made me look at it. Even as I speak right now, they're going through my mind because I brought it up. And I bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. I left them back. So that's why I read the Word, because the Word doesn't put pictures in my mind like that. Prayer doesn't put pictures in my mind like that. It just, you got to stop looking back. If you're looking in through a rearview mirror, take the rearview mirror off, throw it out the window. Look through the front window, because that's where you're heading. You're going forward. We all have a past, but what makes the difference is that we all do not look back. We look forward. We do not want to go back. We want to go forward. Build your faith by realizing that God has a plan for your life and will divide seas to get you there. He will bring blooms to the desert. He knows what he has promised and what he is doing. He will do it for you. You say, Press, I am not even worthy of that. Certainly you're not worthy of God, but God found you worthy of him. Because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, grace has been applied to your life. You have got a promise. Stop fighting the promise and have faith to receive the promise.
Amen.
This Christian life isn't easy. It has struggles, and regardless of what they may say, Stay faithful. Wait on the Lord. Ride the wings of the eagle. Stand still and hear what the Lord has to say to you. Stand still while the Lord will show you His word. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of the Lord. Believe what you see in your heart and know in your heart. Don't believe what you see with your eyes. Faith considers what the heart declares. I'm going to say something out loud, can I? Maybe you're having problems in your home because the Lord's not there. There's more fights and more declarations of this or that, and the Lord's not there because He can't and will not dwell there. All He's wanting is for you to say, let's pray. Let's just pray. Let's just ask God's presence. Let's invite Him into our home. Let's clean it up, what goes on in our home. Let's get it right. There nowhere in the Bible does it say that there should be contention in your home. There talks about contention in home, but it doesn't say it should be like that. If the Bible said there should be peace in the home of the Christian brothers and sisters. I know I'm probably stepping on some toes, but if you say ouch, I won't care. Because if you're going to call yourself a Christian, then have faith and live it. Somebody say amen, would you? I didn't write this message, God did. Let me close with a few remarks. What God has stated, He will do. I don't know if you ever had a promise from God, but I'm saying that facetiously. I'm not saying it with any paradox belonging to it. I'm not saying it with anything or metaphors or attached or anything at all. I'm saying it in the sense of I know He most likely has. If He hasn't, He's got one for you. The one promise that He has for you is eternal life in Jesus Christ. The other promise He has for you is that He will provide for you. The other promise is that He will be your peace. The other promise is that He will be your healer. Praise God. Don't ask God to heal you and then growl. Praise God, don't growl. Don't get grumpy. Be happy. Read scriptures on healing. If you don't know what they are, I've got them already all printed out. If you need them, I give them to you. Read scriptures on faith. If you don't know where they are, well, I'm not going to print them out. I'm just going to tell you to read your Bible. Google it. We just have to understand that it may be impossible to you at the moment, but it's not to God. You see, they crossed the Red Sea that day. All of them made it to the other side. Not one record of anybody dying by Pharaoh's hand that day. Not one. If God could protect 2.5 million people from a place they couldn't move forward, how about you? Could He protect you? Could He protect your relationship? Could He protect your marriage? Could He protect your job? Could He protect your dreams? They went from complaining to clapping. From criticism to congratulating. From being spellbound to a song. From captivity to choice. What God did that day for the Israelites, He wants to do for you right now. He has brought you to this point in your life. He has placed you on the potter's wheel, and he is shaping you into a vessel he can use. Praise on the other side of the Red Sea, and also on the side that you're on right now. Praise. Your enemy will not follow you to that shore. The Lord will bring the waters back into place, and you will see them no more. Go forward and go forward believing, praising, singing a new song unto the Lord. Sing the song, "It is well with my soul. It is well." How well is your soul? It is well. Believe God for what belongs to you. Believe God because God wants to show you.
It sounds familiar. It's just a matter of...